We're reading from Acts chapter 22, and let's begin in the first verse of this chapter. If you are able and willing, I would invite you to stand with us, and we'll reverence the reading of the word of the Lord. I will read a little more than is my ordinary custom, but we'll try to remain disciplined and refrain from any commentary until we're finished with our reading, and then you can be seated. I graciously thank you for standing with us this morning. Acts chapter 22, verse number 1, the word of the Lord says, Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye me my defense, which I make now unto you. And they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, and they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man which am born a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. And also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. It came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one, Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and that shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men what thou shalt hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto his word, and then lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. They cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air. The chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. You can be seated this morning. Thank you for standing with us while we read the word of the Lord. I want to preach, if the Lord will help me, for a few moments from these verses of Scripture on Paul's testimony about his experience with God. Now, we've been looking for quite a while now at the times when God testifies about some of his saints. The Lord, when he takes the witness stand and under oath, which he's always under oath, for he cannot lie, he tells the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth about some of his saints. We talked about how God had said of Abraham, I know him, of David, God testified, he's a man after my own heart. The Lord witnessed of Job saying, he's a perfect, he's upright, he fears the Lord, and he eschews evil. Of Saul, earlier in the book of Acts, the Lord testified, he is a chosen vessel unto me. Of John the Baptist, Christ witnessed, among those born of women, there is not a greater than John the Baptist. Of Abel, the Lord would say that he was righteous. God's testimony about Enoch was that he pleased God. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. God said of Mary that she was highly favored among women. And the Lord testified of Noah, saying the most important thing of him is that Noah walked with God. And then last week we took the next step in this study and saw what happens when the Lord testifies about the lost. At the eternal witness stand in heaven, the judgment of the last day, the great white throne judgment, the Lord will say of the unsaved, I never knew you. Oh, what a sad thing when God, who cannot lie, looks upon those who said, Lord, Lord, and God tells the truth about their lost estate and says, I never knew you. Today, I want us to sort of turn the tables a bit and see a man who is testifying while in court about his experience with God. We've seen how God testified about some of his saints. We've seen how God testifies about the lost in the last day. But I want to see a man under oath telling his experience with God, telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth about what God has done for him. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. And so he tells his story. Possibly nobody in the Bible spends more time telling his story, sharing his experience, and reminding others what God had done for him, he can do for others, than the Apostle Paul. He tells it again and again, everywhere he goes. Matter of fact, it seems like every sermon he begins to preach, he says a few words and then he goes down the Damascus Road. Every time he stands up and takes a text, he says a few things about what it is he wants to say about the message and then runs down the same road, that road to Damascus, and tells people what Jesus has done for him. And I thank the Lord that I have a personal experience, a testimony, a personal knowledge of what it is to be with Jesus. In our text, Paul has been arrested. He makes his defense. He tells the whole truth about his experience with God. This matter of the saved testifying and telling others about the Lord and sharing their experience with Christ is of vital importance. Someone needs to hear about how you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to tell somebody about how you met him, about what he means to you, about how important the Lord is in your life. Psalm 107 verse 1 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. If God is in your life, you ought to testify. You ought to tell somebody. I mean, one of the greatest things you can ever do is just to simply say, I love the Lord, and I thank him for saving my soul. I think about Sister Edith last Sunday morning testifying. It's a great testimony. She's been saved for a number of years now, and it's holding sure. It's holding steady. Amen. God is still on his throne. He's still God. My daddy's got one of the sweetest testimonies in the whole world. Here he is, nearly 70 years old, and he got saved the first time the Holy Ghost ever dealt with his heart when his little boy, 9 years old, got born again. And he's nearly 70 and still saved and in love with Jesus and walking with the Lord. And I'm telling you, friend, if you know the Lord, you've got a story to tell. When he brought you out of the muck and the mire, when he saved you and changed your life, and what the Lord has done in your heart and life. I appreciate what Brother Eddie says a lot of times. He's preaching somewhere this morning, but he said this a number of times here, and I'll say amen to it. He said, the people you know don't know your testimony. You're not telling it enough. You need to tell it more often how he saw fit to save you and make you a part of his family. And Paul testifies of his experience with God. He tells us of what the Lord did in bringing him unto the place of repentance and faith, so his life might forevermore be changed. And so the Lord would secure for him a home in heaven. And you can know that you're saved this morning. You can know that you have a relationship with God. You can know that you have assurance of a home in heaven. And you can sense it and feel it and know it in your heart. You cannot feel justification, but you can feel resurrection. Amen. You can feel life. You can, if you're alive, you can sense that you're alive. And though you may not realize or feel the justifying work of God, that's a legal work, you can feel the resurrection of the Lord. That is the living work in your life. And when you're saved, you can experience the Lord. And you've got a story to tell, friend. And the Apostle Paul begins to tell about his experience with God. He tells it in about four pieces that I want to share with you this morning in the message. He begins by telling the story of his past. Paul tells in this court where he has been arrested for preaching the gospel. And some have said he stirred up the people. Some have said that he's stirred up the Jews. Some have said that he's opposed Rome. Some have said he ought not to live. Some have said just kill him. They're treating him in Jerusalem the way they treated Jesus. And the stories of the witnesses against him do not agree. You can tell that they have told lies. The Romans don't know what to make of him. In the last verse of our read text this morning, the chief captain has told him, take Paul and scourge him. And to question him by scourging, by the way, if you want to know something, just ask me. You don't have to beat the fire out of me to get the information. Amen. But that's what they're going to do. They're going to tie him up and beat him until he tells them something that makes sense of why these people want so badly to have him killed. And while he is in court, he begins to testify not only to those who are in the courtroom, but he asks to address the people. And he begins to testify unto every man that day and give his defense unto them. Why is he preaching about this Jesus? Why is he doing what he's doing? And Paul tells all the bystanders who he is, where he has been, reminds them of his past, what has happened to him. Everyone has a story. All have a past. And Paul reminds them of his background, of who he is and who he was before the Lord found him and changed him and saved him. And we are to infer from that who Paul would be if the Lord had not found him when he did. But praise God, he found him just in time. Amen. He tells a story of his past. He tells us about his race in verse number 2. And when they had heard that he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, have they kept the more silence. That is, he spake to them in Hebrew to let them know he was one of them. He was a Hebrew born in Tarsus according to verse 3. At Philippians 3:3, Paul would say it this way, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews as touching the law of Pharisee. He lists, Brother Randy, word of the day, he lists his bona fides. That's the way that Brett Hume says it on the Fox News. Bona fides. Brother John calls it bona fides. I read, according to one of the online dictionaries, said it was bona fides, but I still like the way that Brett Hume says it, bona fides. And what bona fides are is the evidence of one's qualification or achievements. Paul lists off to them his bona fides. He tells them he's a Hebrew of Hebrews. He's one of them. Hey, you people here today are acting like I'm raising sand or I'm causing trouble or I am telling you something that's strange or odd for you to hear, but I'm one of you. I speak your language. I grew up in your towns. I became alike unto you. I carried out your traditions. Matter of fact, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. He lists his qualifications in his race. He begins to tell them the story of his past and his religion. In verse number 3, he said, I am verily a man of which am a Jew, born in Tarsus,
Tarsus, of the city of Cilicia, brought up in the city, in this city, at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, was religious and zealous toward God, as all of you are this day. He would say it this way in Galatians 1:14. And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Paul says, I was more zealous than anyone else in preserving the traditions, the heritage, and the manners of the Jewish religion. He was under arrest, as Christ had been, for being some sort of insurrectionist because of his preaching of the gospel. But as he reminds them that he was more traditional than them all. Before I met Jesus, he said, I was not only like one of you, I was even more zealous than you are. I was not only a member of your cultural family, I was a member of your cultural elite. I'm one of you. He talks about his race. He talks about his religion. But then he lists out his past in his resistance. Verses 4 and 5, he said, I persecuted them unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. Also the high priest bear me witness. These men in the court know, he says, how that they had authorized me to go and find everybody that was of the Christian faith that I'm preaching about now, and to bring them unto Jerusalem that they may be tried and sentenced and bound. I resisted more than any of you resisted. I was the chief zealot that came against this saying of the gospel. Paul led the resistance to the gospel before he met Christ. Acts chapter 9 verse 1 said, and Saul, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of them letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, that he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. In Galatians, in Paul writing, he said this in chapter 1 and verse 13, for ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:13 of himself, he said, I was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Paul testifies in verse 19 and said, the Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue of them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. He confesses his past in resistance to the gospel. Paul did all he could. Saul, as it were, then did all that he could to stop the preaching, to stop the gospel, to stop the truth, to stop the church. Oh, but I want to tell you something Paul found out, and that you need to know today, friend, that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Woo! Oh, bless his name. I was riding a mower yesterday afternoon and dwelling on this very thing and thinking about it, and how folks would say, well, you know, the church is in decline and the church is going down. It seems like the devil is winning. I'm going to tell you something. The devil can't win. He's a loser. And my friend, the church is not going down. She's going up. You need to, listen, if you think that right is losing and wrong is winning, if you think the church is losing and Satan is winning, then you need to get back to your Bible and be reminded that Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Praise God, we're winning. Amen. Hallelujah. Paul said, I thought I'd stop him. I was determined to stop him. I put my heels in the sand. I scotched my feet. I said, here and no further. You'll not preach in the name of Jesus anymore. And before Jesus got done with Paul, he wasn't stopping the preaching. He was doing the preaching. Amen. Brother, I'm telling you, nobody knows how what God can do till you get the Lord in your life. And when Jesus
Jesus gets in your life, you'll figure out there is no limit. Nothing's too hard for God. Nothing's too big for God. Brother, I'm telling you, we got a great big wonderful God. And I'm excited this morning that He lives in me.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Had a fellow about the last couple of weeks told me, he said, you know, we preachers do benefit, just preach the word. Had to quit telling everybody about the way they feel about it. Said, you know, we get too worked up in it and we get lost in all of that. Instead of just preaching the word, I'm going to tell you something. And not only do I know the word, but I know the God of the word. And He abides in me. Hallelujah, that's right. And the Apostle Paul could testify of his experience with the Lord. If you're saved, you have an experience with the Lord. And my friend, he calls Paul to love what he once hated and to hate what he once loved. He became the chief advocate for the same gospel that he was the chief persecutor of. He said, I won't have nobody preaching in that man's name anymore. And Paul became the best preacher there was in that man's name. That's what God can do, friend. The story of his past. And then he begins to testify and tell them about the Savior and His power. Paul tells of how everything changed from his life of Jewish jihadism. And when he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, he had been the chief of sinners, a religious zealot, an enemy of the cross. Oh, praise God, but this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Paul said that Christ Jesus came in the word of the saved sinners, of whom I am chief. And he tells us about the Savior and His power. He shows it to us in his sojourn to Damascus in verse number 6. And the Apostle Paul was on his journey. In verse 6 he said, and it came to pass, as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus, about noon suddenly there shone up from heaven a great light round about me. I am just really caught up this morning on what he says. How when he says, and as I made my journey, that is, while I was walking along, I was going about my business. I was doing what I had in my mind. I was not looking to meet Jesus. I was not looking to find Jesus. He wasn't going to church. He was not reading the Bible. He wasn't asking preachers questions. He was just living his life, shaking his fist in the face of God, going about his business. And the Lord found him on his road. The Lord found him on his sojourn. And Paul was not going to Damascus to become a Christian, to be saved, to seek after the Lord, but he was living his life, warring against God, fighting the Savior. When he sojourned his own way, God showed up in the middle of the road. That's how the Lord will do in the life of a sinner. How many of you this morning can testify and say it, and you were not looking to be saved. You didn't want to be saved. You weren't looking for the Lord. But God showed up through a message to us, through a witness, through a testimony, through a gospel tract, through a radio sermon, and whatever it might be, and confronted you with who you are, confronted you with your sin, and showed you you were lost. Praise God. How many interrupted my life and introduced himself to me and changed my life. I think many times about the man who told me, he said, I don't like the gospel you preach, and I don't like the Jesus you preach. And I like that the philosopher Jesus, and I like that to Jesus, you know, that tells good stories, that teaches people how to live a better life. I said, that gospel you preach is the wrong kind of Jesus. I said, the one that you preach interferes in people's lives. I don't like that he interferes in people's lives. My needs, your reaction was to try to defend the Lord and say that's not true. And then I had the Holy Ghost restrain me. And instead, all I could say was, praise God, sir. I'm glad I know a Jesus that interferes. When I was on my way to hell, he showed up in the middle of the road and he interfered. When I was lost and undone without God and his Son, and Jesus interfered. When I didn't know peace and I didn't know joy and I didn't know love and I didn't know satisfaction, Jesus interfered. Oh, bless his name. Hallelujah. When I thought I'd go down for the last time,
and I had no help for home. Jesus interfered when I knew I couldn't live right on my own and couldn't do right on my own. I praise God, Jesus interfered when it seemed like there's no way I could ever make heaven my home. And Jesus interfered. And so that he stepped in the middle of my road, in the middle of my sojourn, and told me who he was. Amen. Sojourn to Damascus, and Paul tells of the Savior and his power in the sight that he saw in the end of verse 6. He said it's about noon, right there at the middle of the day, lunchtime. And he said, I saw a light and it shone round about me. Of course there was a light, Paul. It's the middle of the day, it's the sunshine. Oh, but if you read what he told Agrippa, he said it shone a lot brighter than the sun. If you read what he told Felix, it shone a lot brighter than the sun. It's the middle of the day, the sun shining, but there is an S-O-N that shines brighter than the S-U-N. And my friend, it made a difference in the Apostle Paul. He saw the light that day, and the light that he saw was always a central part of Paul's testimony. Acts chapter 9 verse 3 said, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. At verse number 9 of our text chapter, has said the ones that were with him also saw the light. Amen. At verse 11, Paul testifies and said, there was glory in that light. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 26, verse 13, Paul said that the light was from heaven. At 2 Corinthians 4 and 6, Paul said, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts, and to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Thank God I saw the light. Hallelujah for the day the light shined in my life. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and that he should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And now his love lights the way for me. Hallelujah, that I saw the light one day. And so Paul tells about the Savior and his power. He tells of the sojourn that the Lord interrupted, interfered in. He tells about the sight that he saw, how he saw the light. Then he tells about the sound that he heard. Not only did he see a light, but he heard a sound. And verse 7, he said, I fell to the ground and I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Well, there were many that saw the light, but it's something more entirely. And my friend, that desire to look into it, but they rejected the voice. But not only did Saul hear or see the light, but he heard a voice, and that voice was the voice of Jesus. Hallelujah. I heard a sweet voice so tenderly calling, arise and be changed evermore. I knew it must be the voice of my Savior, because I had not heard a voice like that before. Praise God and the Lamb forevermore. It was the voice of Jesus in verse number 8. It's like Elijah down there in the cave. And Elijah didn't sense the Lord in the whirlwind or the earthquake or the fire, but it was in a still small voice that spoke to his heart. And Jesus said it in John 14, 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Have you ever heard the voice of the Holy Ghost calling unto you this morning? The sound that he heard. I'm so thankful for the sight that I saw, but I'm so thankful for a sound that I heard. The voice calling unto me, coming to me, all you labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. And then he tells about the Savior and his power. And when he tells us about the Savior who he met, and in verse number 8, he says, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord says, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. I'm so glad the Lord answered Paul this way. and that he recorded in the scriptures for us. If he had not done so, people would still be arguing today over whether this was the Lord or some angel or maybe a prophet or a preacher. Just who was it that talked from him to heaven? From heaven, and just who is it you need to hear from? If you're going to be saved, but since the Lord was gracious and he told us it was the Lord talking to Paul, and now we know who talked to Paul whenever he got saved, and he'll need to talk to you when you get saved. Amen. It's the Lord's voice that'll deal with our hearts. It's not the voice of the preacher of the church or religion. If you only hear the voice of the media, the voice of relatives, the voice of your peers, you'll never hear what you really need. The very person you need is Jesus. Paul said in Galatians 1, 3 and 4, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and of our Father. The person who matters, he is the Savior. When Paul starts that book of Galatians, girls, and I've been reading through Galatians at night. When Paul starts that book of Galatians and he says it is Jesus who gave himself for us to deliver us from our sins and from this present world, that sets the whole of the entire platform, that sets the whole tenor of the whole sound of the chapter of the epistle of the book of Galatians. Here's the thing. It's not a preacher that has saved us from our sins. It's not a denomination. It's not a church. It's not a Sunday school teacher. It's not a priest. My friend, it is not the Pope. It's not some politician. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Jesus gave his life to save us from our sins. What you need is not the voice of baptism or church membership. My friend, or of this old world and its wisdom. What you need is the voice of Jesus in your heart. Amen. The Savior who he met. Then when he began to tell about this situation, this Savior and his power, he told us about the solitude of the moment. In verse number 9, when he testifies, he says, and they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, and they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. I'm so glad the Lord answered Paul and told him who he was. That those that were there with him, they were in the light, but they did not hear the voice. And there were people with him in the light, and when he heard the voice, but God isolated Paul. And others saw the light, but Paul heard the voice. And verse 11 says that Paul could not see the others for the glory of the light. You see, Paul got in a place where it was only Jesus. He could see Jesus. He could hear Jesus. The folks around him said they saw some of what he saw, but they didn't hear none of what he heard. He looked around to see if he could see them, and he couldn't see them anymore. And there comes a time in your life when you get under conviction, when the Lord shows you who you are and who he is. That brother so-and-so don't matter anymore. And sister so-and-so don't matter anymore. And you've been saying, Lord, I'd get right, but you know my mama didn't treat me right, and my daddy didn't do me right, and the world ain't done me right. And you know, I'm mad at this one and that one, and yet none of it matters anymore. And what matters is that you're in the presence of God and you're not right with God, and the Lord has isolated you in the moment and shown you who you are.
Amen.
Amen. Do you know what it's like for God to point you out? Show you who you are. Show you your need of a Savior. Show you your extreme lostness. To feel all alone. Listen, the night that I got saved, there's probably 2,500 people in that meeting that night that I got saved. And listen, I don't like a crowd that much. I mean, I'm always, especially when I'm in a crowd, I'm always looking for a way to get out of the crowd.
And when I'm amongst the crowd, I'm looking for a way to hide in the crowd. And whenever I get in that kind of crowd, I run to the corner and hope nobody talks to me. Amen. I mean, I just don't like it. I don't like that big of a crowd. That makes me nervous. And listen, that night that I got saved, there's probably 2,500 people there. And yet the Lord put me all by myself. I mean, I felt so alone. I stood before God, lost and undone and unsaved. And it seemed like it. Listen, there's nobody to help. No telling how many folks praying for me. And seem like there's nobody to help. I mean, whenever where could I go but to the Lord? I mean, He was the only one could help me. And He said He made Paul in a moment of solitude. He separated him out. When a man comes to know Christ, God will separate him from all others to let the Lord work in him alone. It was me standing in the need of prayer. Then the Savior's power shown in his surrender. Paul surrendered to Christ in verse 10. And he said, Lord, what shall I do? And the Lord said unto me, arise, go into Damascus. There shall be told thee of all the things which are appointed for thee to do. And Paul did what every person who trusts Jesus as Savior does. And he surrendered unto the Lord. Matthew 7:21, we read it last Sunday morning. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Paul did the will of God in surrendering to Christ rather than rebelling against Christ. This is the essence of repentance. You turn from that life of rebellion and to a life of submission. You turn from your own way and go the Lord's way. Amen. You turn from self unto the Savior. You can't come to God to be saved. I say, Lord, if you'll let me do this and keep doing that, as long as I can keep smoking what I want to smoke, drinking what I want to drink, doing what I want to do, going where I want to go, then I'll let you save me. But when you come to the Lord and say, nothing of myself I bring, simply to thy cross I cling, deliver me from self and selfish and by ambitions and desires, and deliver me from sensual lusts and sinful deeds, make of me a new heart and a new life and a new man. And brother, then you can be saved. Surrender to Christ. And then as Paul's testifying, he tells them about the Spirit of God and His provision in his life. The Lord was so gracious in dealing with Paul. And He will be with you as well. If you worry that if you trust the Lord, He'll let you down, worry no more. He'll be all that you need. He provided for Paul entirely. Paul tells us in verse 11 that God provided for him a hand to guide him. He said, God gave me a hand to guide me. Verse number 11. And when I could not see for the glory of the light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came to Damascus. When Paul couldn't see a way forward, the Lord had someone close by to hold his hand. And these men were not even believers, but God used him. It'll surprise you at times who the Lord will use in your Christian journey, who God will use to help you, who God will use to pick your head up whenever you're down, who God will use to bring you through. And my friend, there was a hand to guide him. Thank God for every kind person, for every person of encouragement that has given me a hand along this way. Amen. Been saved over 30 years, and praise God, the Lord has been gracious and sent somebody by with a hand. Oh, somebody by to lift up my head. Somebody by, have my friend to pat me on the back when I was discouraged. Somebody by to pray for me when I was struggling. Have somebody by, have my friend to help me in the Lord, a hand to guide me. Then Paul said, not only was the Lord gracious in providing a hand to guide me, but a voice to instruct me. In verses 12 through 16, he tells about how Ananias came to him. He said, he came to me. He said, receive my sight. And the same hour, in verse 13, I looked on him. In verse 14, he said, the Lord's determined for you to see the just one. And that you should have heard the voice of his mouth. In verse 15, you'll be his witness. And that's what Paul's doing in this chapter. You'll be his witness.
witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And he said in verse 16, and why tarriest thou? Don't you think it's about time to do what the Lord's told you to do? I praise God for an Ananias. And my friend, hey, he called Saul brother when many other names likely would have come to mind. He prayed for him even though he didn't know him. And the preacher didn't hold against Saul what he had done or what he planned to do. He let Saul know the Lord had a plan for him, how to use him. He encouraged Saul to follow along with Christ and believers' baptism and to serve the Lord. I just want to say one little sentence here and I've got to move on. Thank God for the preacher who told me about Jesus. Woo! And God gave him a voice to instruct the Apostle Paul and to let him know what there was for him to do. Hand to guide me, a voice to instruct me. And then he said, I got a warning to spare me. In verse 17 through verse 21, first part of the verse, he said he came in the temple, verse 17, and prayed, and he was in a trance. And the Lord began to talk to him and said, make haste and get out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And he said, I tried to tell you, Lord, they know about me. They know how I was standing there holding the coats of Stephen. Surely they'll listen to me. But the Lord spoke to him and said, depart. And the Lord gave him a warning. He protected him. He spared him from trouble and took him out of harm's way. In Galatians 1, Paul said, he went out in the wilderness of Saudi Arabia and stayed 3 years praying. And the Lord showed him what to do. And he sought after God, and God directed him to the Gentiles. And the Lord knows how to look out for us. As Psalm 23 and 6 said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God has never forsaken one of his children, and he will not start with you. Hallelujah. A warning to spare me. The spirit of provision is seen in Paul's testimony in a task before me. In verse 21, latter part of the verse, it said, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. God would send the Gentiles. Galatians 1 and 11, Paul said, but I certify to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. The Lord told me what to preach and who to preach to. Hallelujah. And by the way, if he didn't, then you ain't preaching. Amen. You might be doing something, but if the Lord didn't tell you what to preach, you're not preaching. Hallelujah. You might even give a good lesson. It might even be productive. But if the Lord didn't tell you what to preach, you ain't preaching.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to preach his message and not mine. The spirit of his provision. So, the story of his past, saving his power, the spirit of his provision, and I am, Caitlin, beginning to close with this. The surety of the protection. Paul perceived that there was safety for him in one matter. If you still have your Bibles, open in chapter 23 and in verse number 6. And when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other part were Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I'm a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, and of the hope of the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. Paul perceived there was safety for him in one matter, and that is the resurrection. That is our hope. Christ is our life. The resurrection is what provides what we need. Paul realized that the best of his arguments would not be enough. All of the soundness of his arguments, all of the legal ground he was able to present unto them would not be enough. The only argument he really had that mattered is that Jesus died for our sin according to the scriptures, was buried, and on the third day rose again. And because he lives, I can live also. And my hope is in the surety of the resurrection. That is what protects me. That's what keeps me safe. That's what makes me his, is that Jesus lives.
The resurrection provides for us a clean slate. In chapter 23 and verse 1, Paul earnestly beholding the council said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day." Since his conversion, he had confidence in a clean slate. That Jesus lives and he's bigger than my sin. That Jesus lives, he's bigger than my past. That Jesus lives, that I'm forgiven because Jesus said so. Had confidence in a clean slate. He had a confident spirit. In chapter 23 and verse 3, verse number 2, the high priest commanded to smite Paul on the mouth. And then Paul said to him, "God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. For sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law?" Paul stood alone, but he was not afraid. He knew the living God was with him that day. You know why I can preach boldly? Because I know the one I preach about is alive. You see, my worldview begins with a God who became man and died for our sins, and when he went in the tomb, stayed 3 days, kicked the end of it out on the glorious resurrection morning, and walked out of there victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And if he can defeat death, he can defeat anything. And I need not fear what man can do unto me. Amen. I mean, I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I need not be afraid of what this world may do. A confident spirit. And then there's a comforting sound in chapter 23 and verse 11. I'm missing so much ground. I'm missing more than what I'm preaching. But chapter 23 and verse 11, there's a comforting sound. He said, "The night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer. Paul, hallelujah. For thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." When he was facing death and all alone, there was that same voice he heard when he first trusted the Lord. Hallelujah. He got in when he saw the light and heard the voice. And now 20 years down the road, it seems like everybody's turned on him. And he's all by himself again. That's where he started. All by himself in solitude and isolated with the voice of God speaking to him. And he said, "I'm right back where I started." Oh, but he said, "I also heard the same voice that I heard on the first day. The one who never left me. The one who never forsook me. The one who never walked out on me. He was there. He will not leave you in the sixth trouble, nor forsake you in the seventh. He's a faithful God and he'll always be there." And Jesus had not walked out on him. The testimony of the Apostle Paul that day was the same as it can be for you and for me. He said it in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, "No man stood with me that night, notwithstanding the Lord stood by me." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you testify this morning of a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know him and the free pardon of sin? Do you have a story to tell? Are you telling it? Does everyone you know that you know Jesus? Gonna stand by me? Hallelujah. Come play for me if you will. I don't know my key. Just guess at one and I'll sing the same one you play in. Gonna stand by me? You realize that the Lord will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll stand by you. Everybody stand with us, please. If you need to pray, if you need to call on the Lord, I think it's like page 60, something like that. If you need to call on the Lord, if you need to pray, 62. If you need to seek after the Lord this morning, if you're lost and undone today, I'd encourage you to come. I'd encourage you to seek after God. If you're in the midst of an isolating trial, I'd encourage you to seek after the Lord. And today, if you're not testifying to others about Jesus, you ought to find your way to this altar and say, "Lord, have mercy on me and forgive me and give me boldness that I may tell you others what you've done in my life." And it'll make all the difference in the world in somebody that God sends you to. The Lord will never leave me. I am a pilgrim on life's weary road. Many times I've told
gonna
stand by me.
He's gonna stand by me.
Gonna stand by me.
Gonna stand by me.
Gonna stand by me.
I know my Lord.
Soul to share when the friends I love,
shall forsake and flee.
I know my Lord.
I know my Lord's gonna stand by me. Gonna stand by me.
He's gonna stand by me.
Gonna stand by me.
Gonna stand by me.
Gonna stand by me.
I know my Lord.
I know my Lord.
Gonna stand by me.
He's gonna stand by me
when the way seems dark. So Jordan wide, gonna reach my home on the other side. Gonna pass from time.
When I pass from time.
Pray about the meeting tonight. We'll meet at 15 till 6 for prayer. Worship service at 6 o'clock. Hope you'll come. Be a part of the service tonight. Brother Randy, if you would, lead us to the Lord in a word of prayer and dismiss us this morning.